To the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down.
That the mountains might quake at your presence.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits.
And in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning.
More than watchmen for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love.
And with him is plentiful redemption.
And he will redeem Israel
from all his iniquities.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 7th chapter. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors,
that the King of glory may come in.
The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof,
the world with those who dwell therein.
For he has founded it upon the seas,
and established it upon the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord?
And who shall stand in his holy place?
He who has clean hands and a pure heart,
who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully.
He will receive blessing from the Lord,
and righteousness from the God of his salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek him,
who seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors,
that the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors,
that the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors,
that the King of glory may come in.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the first chapter. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God, in power according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who were called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah! Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son.
And they shall call whose name Emmanuel. Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. This is our text. This is the Joseph Christmas story. It's the same Christmas story that you hear from in the Gospel of Luke, but it's told from a different perspective. St. Luke tells us all the things that we're familiar with: the census and the trip to Bethlehem, the manger and the swaddling cloths, the shepherds, and the angels from heaven. St. Luke describes things in the way that Mary would have seen them, describes her thoughts and her feelings, what she treasured up in her heart. We know this version well, not only from St. Luke, but from Christmas cards, and also from Charlie Brown. This is the true meaning of Christmas. But the Joseph Christmas story is different. It's the one we have here in St. Matthew's Gospel. St. Matthew shows us Christmas as Joseph experienced it. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. This may be a little less familiar. It doesn't really make for a happy, holy family on the front of a Christmas card, does it? Most of this happens in that in-between time, in between when the angel Gabriel visits Mary to announce that she's going to have a child, and the time when Joseph and Mary and Jesus travel to Bethlehem and she gives birth. How does Joseph respond to the pregnancy? Life, it turns out, is messy and complicated. We know that, but what might surprise us is to discover that life was also messy and complicated when the Son of God assumed our human nature in the womb of Mary. The way St. Matthew tells it, we have a scandalous pregnancy, a quietly planned divorce, and a change of heart brought on by a divine dream. We find fear, confusion, and uncertainty. The greatest tension in St. Matthew's account is not the tension of trying to find a room in Bethlehem. It's the tension inside this man, inside Joseph, as he wrestles with his duty and his calling from God, a duty and calling that turn out to be far different than he expected, and harder, and filled with a greater blessing than he could have imagined. What's it like to be Joseph at Christmas? Well, it's confusing. Now, we don't know much about Joseph, only a little bit. He was descended from David of Bethlehem, the shepherd boy, the slayer of Goliath, and ultimately the king of Israel. We learn that Joseph is a just man, that is, a good person who leads an upright life, a life that is respectable before others. And he also seems to have been a thoughtful man, not rash and not hasty, which he needed considering the situation that he found himself in, engaged to a woman who carries a child that isn't his. Can you picture Joseph wrestling with this? Maybe sitting at his workbench in his carpenter shop with a job half finished and his tools resting on the table, head in his hands, just staring off into space. What to do? What to do, he asks.
Should he marry her anyway in that condition? But she carries someone else's child. And what about that story she told to cover it up about the angel coming? Or should he expose her publicly and make her feel the shame, the humiliation, and the punishment of an adulteress? But then she might be stoned to death. So he resolved to go another way, neither to marry her nor to make a public accusation, but just to divorce her quietly. You might say, sort of sweep it under the rug and let sleeping dogs lie. People would talk, of course, as people tend to do, especially about other people's business. Yet she could make her way through life with that child in some fashion, and he could learn to recover from the disappointment and the heartbreak. I imagine Joseph sitting there, realizing that this is a situation that is beyond his control. The only thing he can do is decide how he will respond. Such is life, messy, complicated, outside of our control. So many things don't turn out like we hoped or we planned. Unexpected situations create fear and confusion and uncertainty. What challenges do you have? What difficult decisions confront you? Maybe, like Joseph, it's your marriage, or maybe your children. Or maybe it's relationships outside of the home or your work. Maybe it's just the craziness of this Christmas season, and you're trying to figure out what to do. You're trying to handle it well. You want to know which way to go, but no path seems exactly right. And you didn't ask for this. And it's so easy in these moments, in these situations, to get caught up focusing on ourselves, to get caught up nursing our own hurts and disappointments, agonizing over the way things affect us. When it comes to decisions in life, there are a couple of things to say. The Ten Commandments certainly offer help. Whatever decision you're faced with, run it through the Ten Commandments, because those provide very clear boundaries on how to live. And then there's Holy Scripture, which offers plenty of wisdom and many examples of those who have gone before. And yet, like me, you'll probably find that there's no perfect solution that you find in Scripture. There's no example that perfectly matches what you're going through. So remember this: though the situation is out of your control, you can decide how you will respond, like Joseph. But what Joseph ultimately finds out in his Christmas story is that his story is a small part of a much, much bigger story. Not just the Mary story or the Joseph story, not just your story and my story, but there's one big story that encompasses them and us. The story of our God and what he is doing. How has God decided to handle the mess and complication of this world? How will he deal with our sorrow and our sin? How will he be with his people? This is his Christmas story. So as Joseph is pondering these things, as he is considering them, as he lays down with these things swirling around in his mind, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Well, great for Joseph, isn't it? At least he had an angel to tell him what to do, to make it really, really clear. And of course, that's true. He did get an angel, and I can't promise one to you. And even if an angel appeared, I'd be a little skeptical until you run what the angel says through the sieve of Scripture to make sure it's from God. But I think there's more to it than that for Joseph. It's not just that the angel tells him what to do. It's what the angel tells him. The angel tells him about the child. The child conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Virgin's Son, the one descended from David according to the flesh, whose name will be Jesus. Jesus. That's what the angel tells Joseph about. Whose name means the Lord saves. A confession of exactly who he is and exactly what he'll do. He is the Lord, and he will save his people from their sins. Behind the angel's word looms the cross. Behind the angel's word, you can almost see the blood pouring down. Atonement for the sins of the world. He will save his people. And he will save them from their sins. You want to know what to do, Joseph? Here is the one who will save. He will save you through whatever heartbreak you're going through. Through whatever decision you're going through, he will save you. Whether every path you're looking at seems to be wrong and you can't quite figure out which way to go, he will save you. And by his blood, he will cover your sins. And this is the promise that makes the difference for Joseph. This is the promise that pulls Joseph out of his little story where he's wrapped up in himself and into the bigger story, into the story where God is the biggest actor of all. And it's in this story that God chooses to enter the mess and the complication. It's in this story that God decides to take on the sins of his people. It's in this story that God is not confused or uncertain, but he cuts through the fear and the confusion and the uncertainty to take action. Joseph, take Mary as your wife. Why? Because Mary's pregnancy is the work of the Holy Spirit. Because of Mary's son. Because of what this one will do. Matthew tells us that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, Joseph finds himself part of a much, much bigger story. This bigger story started long before Joseph and Mary were ever engaged. It started well before Joseph and Mary were even born. 8 centuries earlier, Isaiah had prophesied about it. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Which virgin? Which virgin? When? And why? It is a promise that God made to King Ahaz, as we heard in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7. Ahaz, the king of Israel, and he's looking to the north, our king of Judah. He looks to the north and he sees his enemies, Israel and Syria, who want Judah to join with them in a war against Assyria. And he doesn't know what to do. Should he resist them? Should he call to Egypt or call to Assyria to come to his aid? What should he do? And God sends a prophet and says, listen to the prophet. And the prophet says, I'll give you a sign. And Ahaz says, thank you, but no thanks. And God gives a sign anyway. And the sign is this: a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. This is the sign to look for. This is the sign of our salvation. This is the sign of our hope, and of hope for Ahaz as well. And though Ahaz rejected the sign, it is from the line of Ahaz and his descendants, Joseph and Mary, that the Savior will come. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I think about what Joseph did. It is such an amazing thing. Instead of sending Mary away with a scarlet A on her dress, instead of sweeping it under the rug but letting her bear the consequences, Joseph takes her as his wife. He covers her shame, at least what the world would call shame, and he bears it as his own. He nourishes and cherishes his wife, and he loves her, so that Mary appears in beauty and splendor. And I find here in Joseph a fitting guardian for Jesus. For in doing what he does for Mary, he provides an example of what Jesus will do for his bride, the church. Jesus takes the church as his own. He takes you. And he loves you, and he nourishes and he cherishes you. And rather than trumpeting your shame or publicly exposing you, rather than making you wear the scarlet letter on your clothes, he bears your sin and he covers it. And he takes it right to the cross, because he will do exactly what the angel said. He will save his people from their sins. And so he has done. Our Lord has come for you and for me into this messy, complicated, confusing, uncertain, and often filled with fear world. And he has come not only to save, but also to be with us, as the name Emmanuel declares, God with us. And he is with us still, with us in his Son, Jesus Christ, with us in his Son, who became flesh and lived and died and rose and ascended, and who speaks to us still through his holy word, and who comes to us even now through his holy communion. God is with you. He may not tell you exactly which path to take. He may not answer every question you have. He may not clear up in this moment every confusion and every complication. He may not clean up every mess. But he will be with you through them. And he will guide you through them. And he will, as he promised, save you from your sins. For this is why he sent Jesus into the womb of the Virgin Mary. And this is why he sent the angel to Joseph, that Joseph might take this child as his own and raise for us the Savior, that we might be saved now and forever. May God grant us his blessing here at the conclusion of the Advent season as we look ahead to celebrating with great joy the birth of his Son. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you promised to reluctant Ahaz that the virgin would have a son, and in the fullness of time the Word became flesh. Open our hearts and strengthen our faith, gladly to receive your Son in the signs where he is present, not in the signs of our own choosing, but in the Holy Word and sacraments. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, preserve your apostolic gospel and its ministers. Cause the name and the resurrection of Christ Jesus to be proclaimed among all nations, including among us who are called to belong to him, that the obedience of faith may be brought about in every place. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, for Jesus' sake, make his name known. Bless the mission offerings we give today and the missions and mercy work that we support, especially LCMS Eurasia Missions, Michael and Nancy Jane, Reverend Dr. Bombaro and his family, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ukraine and those who provide spiritual and physical relief in the midst of war, and the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Bless Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Patrick Jackson and Paul Hams, Issues Etc., the HARP mission in Appalachia, and the care and relief work carried out within the Florida-Georgia district of our synod. Bless our New England district. Bless Reverend Teferi, Bethel Congregation, and the outreach to the Oromo in Greater Boston, First Concern in Clinton and Marlborough, CareNet in Fitchburg, and Grace Paradise as she prepares for her mission trip to Madagascar. Grant that your Son would be known as Savior around the world, in our own nation, and in our local communities. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, it is your will that we live chaste and decent lives in all that we say and do. Preserve in faithfulness and honor all couples who are engaged, especially Paul and Jamie and Ed and Marge, that they may come to their wedding day without fear, shame, or disgrace, and with great joy. Since Christ is Emmanuel, who saves his people from their sins, clothe all of us, husbands and wives, unmarried and widowed, young and old, in the forgiveness of Jesus, in which all can stand before you, cleansed and confident of your blessing. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you do not bear with pride and unbelief of kings and rulers forever. Have mercy on us, Lord, and spare our nation. Clear away all empty shows of piety and renew genuine faith in the Virgin Son, that his coming at the last may not be a sign against us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you named your Son Jesus because he was born to save us from our sins. Give us repentant hearts. Do not let us bow to temptation or abuse his name by seeking our own way, but lead us to confess our sins and rejoice in his salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, look with kindness on the sick and those in any need, especially Amara, Linda, Judy, Kirsten, Nina, Hattie, Dean, Al, Bobby Joe, Jason, Jackie, Randy, Rosemarie, Kurt, Nancy, Robert, John, Steve, Karen, Sherry, Ed, Alicia, and Ted. And we give thanks to you for being with Tim during his surgery. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is truly Lord and ruler of the house of Israel. With the Holy Spirit, you spoke to Moses out of the burning bush and gave the law in terror to test your ancient people, that the fear of you would be before them. As Moses stretched out his arm at your word to bring Israel out of bondage, and as he stood in the breach against your wrath, so you have given Christ to redeem us with his arms outstretched on the wood of the cross. Grant that, as we recall with thanksgiving his advent in the flesh, we may always confess him and remain watchful for his advent in glory at the last day. For you live and reign one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant, John the Baptist, to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins, and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and the righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
We sing the post-communion hymn from the red hymnal, the Lutheran hymnal number 275.
Us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food make us strong in faith toward you and a deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.